Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Big Apple Hockey, and it is a very stuffed episode because we got some midseason awards that we're going to be giving out this year, and you can tell I'm a little bit excited. And of course, I am your host, Mark Williams. I am actually in Nashville right now, doing a little bit of traveling. Went to the Jack Daniel's distillery today, and the host of the final buzzer, Mr. John Polkowski.
What could Mark be doing at a distillery?
You know what? Not as much as what you think, because it's in a dry county. You're only allowed to have a little bit. And we are joined, of course, by the third part, the fourth period, Mr. Anthony LaRocco.
So I got to experience the ole, ole, ole chant in person this weekend. And those guys are crazy up there in Montreal, man. Their fans are nuts. It was an interesting place, but it was a cool experience.
I love going up to Montreal. We used to do it every single year with my hockey team. So one year I got to see them play the Rangers. They were actually a little bit more cordial than what people might say. And then the other times I got to see them in other games, and it was a lot more fun when my team wasn't involved. So speaking about which, let's go into the A block right now. Let's just quickly talk about those two teams where you have the New York Islanders and the New York Rangers. And A-Block, of course, is sponsored by SeatGeek. Use the promo code BigAppleHockey for $20 off your first order. And the Big Apple Hockey trucker hats are available. Get yours now in the link below. The Rangers won 1-1 in the last three games since our last broadcast. And they have 54 points. They still sit in first place. We're going to be getting to them in a second. And the New York Islanders 1-2 last week as they completed their road trip. And both teams kind of got thumped by the Vancouver Canucks this week. Anthony, actually, let's start with the Islanders, the freshest game. What are your takeaways from last night?
They got, they pretty much got outskilled by the Canucks. I didn't think they played all that bad. I thought they had a chance to get back in the game after Nelson's goal made it 3-1. I thought that would have given them a little more juice, but, unfortunately, it didn't come to fruition. But I got to give the Canucks credit. You know, the Canucks are showing they're a really good team. They got a lot of skilled players that can hurt you if you give them the time and space. And that's what the Islanders did. And a little bit of lackadaisical play too at some points. I think it was the second Canucks goal. Basically, the whole Islander team thought the play was offsides and they like stopped skating for a second, and then the puck went in the back of the net. Can't happen. You gotta keep playing. So. Other than that, though, I honestly didn't mind their effort. Like I said, they just got outclassed by the Canucks, and the Rangers did too. The Canucks put on a display of their skill when they were here in New York. You know, between Miller and Pettersson and Hughes and Besser, they're firing all cylinders right now. So kudos to the Canucks. But the Islanders coming back from a road trip, I kind of saw this coming. You have a really good Canucks team. They just got back from the West. I just had a bad feeling going into the game. And lo and behold, it turned out to be true. But, now they got a tough game against the Maple Leafs, but they always play the Maple Leafs well. Those games are usually close. So, and Samsonov got recalled. I think I don't know if he's going to start, but he's with the team again. The Islanders usually perform pretty well against them. So I expect a much better outing for them tomorrow. But, last couple of games, the loss in Vancouver. The Vegas game, you know, again, that's that another game that I had a bad feeling about. You know, some teams the Islanders play, and especially in certain buildings, I don't really have a whole lot of faith going into the game. You can kind of sense a loss coming, and that was one of those games too. But honestly, I was at the Ranger game in Montreal that night, so I missed that game. Can't speak to it that well, but you know, hopefully turn the page and, you know, beat the Maple Leafs.
Phil, what do you think about the Rangers? Is this a lull that they're in, or is there something more to it?
It's a little bit of both. This has been going on for a month and change now. It's good effort followed by bad effort followed by good effort. This is the first time in a while that we've seen two bad efforts in a row from this team. The defense is just not good enough right now. All six defenders are playing like crap. The forwards are not helping on the back check. Laviolette skated them heavily after yesterday's practice. Heavy, heavy skating practice. So he's definitely seeing it. Keandre Miller has just been atrocious defensively. Something is not right with him. If I were this team, I would really be taking a serious look at him and seeing what's wrong, because something is just – he's not there. I mean, the play in overtime against Montreal, the last remaining seconds of overtime, I don't know what he was doing getting back to that puck. I really don't. He just kind of just stopped skating and stopped doing his own thing. He just looks lackadaisical. Jacob Trouba has not played great. Ryan Lindgren has been up and down all season. Adam Fox in his own end has been crap defensively for most of this year. Braden Schneider has regressed heavily. Erik Gustafsson's defense has gotten worse as the season's gone on. This whole team is just not playing well, and the forwards are not helping them, and the goaltending has just not been there at all this season. Both goaltenders have just not made the big saves lately that they've needed to make, but it's just overall bad effort, and I think that they need to start looking outside the organization for some remedies sooner than later. And I don't know if that's possible yet with the cap, but hopefully Kaapo Kakko is coming back. I would say by the end of this week, I think he'll be back. And unfortunately, Jake Lucardio is going to be in the lineup for tomorrow's game against St. Louis. So we know that there's probably about 10 minutes of complete uselessness on the ice there. So that's going to be fun to watch.
I just wonder where he's going to fit in, Jake Lucision. I mean, what's he doing? I mean, are they going to use him as the fourth line center, or are they going to use him?
Can he do is the real question. This guy's done nothing. He had zero points in what, over 30 games last year, and was a minus 10. The guy's a joke. He's a joke. He is the definition of, I don't know why a coach has such a love affair for this player, because he does absolute jack shit, but here we are and he's still he is the personification of that. Yeah, we need goals from our bottom six. So what do? We bring up a guy that had 0 points last year in over 30 games. That's gonna solve our problems right there.
Well, that's what's gonna hold this team back from any real success in the playoffs, and you don't have a bottom six.
Yeah. They need depth,
and they're going to need to figure that out.
Yeah, you know, bottom six players are important come playoff time. You know, pretty often you every year it seems like there's a guy that plays in a bottom six that raises his game and scores some, you know, clutch goals, and you need those guys to perform to come playoff time. So yeah, the Rangers certainly need help in that regard. I definitely agree there.
Teddy Bluger last year, that was the big case. He was a guy that was acquired at the deadline. Him and Barbashev, probably the two best acquisitions.
Yeah, Ivan Barbashev ended up being a real solid acquisition. Probably would have helped the Rangers a little more than Patrick Kane last year. But you need balance. You need scoring. There's one line scoring at 5v5 right now. Zibanejad and Kreider is not cutting it. Blake Wheeler needs to be sent out of a cannon into the sun to never return, because he's just terrible.
Yeah, Blake. I think they've gotten as much as they can out of Blake Wheeler. I'll give him credit. He lasted longer than Ryan Malone did when they signed him back in the day. I think that was about almost 10 years ago now. But More on the Islanders and the Rangers in a little bit. For instance, what's going on in net with them, and as well, who is the Islanders MVP this year? But first, let's take a quick message from DraftKings and go into the midseason awards.
Hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same game parlays. Combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot and an even bigger payout. Download the DraftKings Sports app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN.
Well, everybody, we're back again, and that might be the fastest we've gotten the DraftKings message up, so kudos to us. But it is time for our midseason awards. The NHL doesn't hand out theirs until the end of the season, but we get to do it twice. So actually, we get to do it three times, guys, because we also have the preseason too. But you know what? I think there's a couple layups in here, yeah. So let's get into this.
A couple. Oh, yeah.
I think there are a couple layups because one guy definitely we're going to get to, I think he really played his way into the award recently. And let's start with the Calder Trophy, guys. Is it Bedard versus the field? Philk, I'm going to start with you.
It's Bedard, and it's not the field. Brock Faber and Marco Rossi were two guys that I had as finalists, but it's Bedard. Anyone trying to say otherwise, just you're lying to yourself.
All right, and I actually have that too. I have Bedard, and nobody else is close. The team leans on him.
Mark, Bedard's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. Similar to McDavid in his rookie year, he got hurt.
We're talking about right now, though. We're not talking about what's going to happen. It's just right now.
So I'm all right. I was going like who I think's going to win the Calder. If you're basing it off right now, then yeah. I mean, it was Connor Bedard, but all my selections.
Let's take him out of the equation, Anthony. Who do you got?
What?
Let's take him out of the equation. Bedard's not available right now. Who's your
I had Marco Rossi as the winner. He was second. I think he actually tied with Bedard. I think they both had 24 points. And, you know, he's really stepped up for the Wild. You know, he had that, what was that, heart issue, whatever he had. You know, and he questioned if he was ever going to kind of be able to get his game back. And he's certainly producing for the Minnesota Wild for, you know, at least in terms of rookie production. So,
they're not tied at points. What are you talking about?
They didn't have Bedard 24 points?
33 points.
What?
Bedard has 33 points. Rossi is 24.
Hell, I don't know what I was looking. I must have been looking at an old stat sheet.
Bedard has a wide lead on the competition right now, scoring-wise. I think Rossi is the second-leading rookie scorer. But, I mean, he may not even be the best rookie in his team, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's 24. He had 24 points. Yeah, I went with Bedard out. I went with Rossi, but I like I said, Mark, I had picked the picks I sent you. I based it on like the end of the season. I didn't do it on right now, just so you know.
Oh yeah, I'm with you on that, Anthony.
I did it on.
If the season ended right now, the rest of them all still fit. Bedard is just the one thing. It's similar to the Connor McDavid thing, where he ended up breaking, I believe it was his collarbone, guys, right?
Who?
And what, McDavid, when he went out, he broke his collarbone, right?
What, McDavid in his rookie year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a Brandon Manning, Michael Delzato hit, and he broke his collarbone.
Yeah, and that allowed Artemi Panarin to win it. So, I mean, this isn't an Anthony messed up. There's also no graphic for that. So,
no, but that's really it.
Yeah, this is just a matter of semantics. However, Anthony, let me go right back to you on this one. Who is your midseason Norris Trophy winner right now?
I pick Quinn Hughes. And I mean, barring anything changing too drastically, I think he's going to win it at the end of the year. He's been, you know, one of the Canucks' best players. You know, it seems like this is his year to win it. Like, it's his destiny. I mean, when Cale Makar won it, I was talking about how great of a year Cale Makar was having. Lo and behold, he won it. Quinn Hughes is having a fantastic year offensively. He's leading the Canucks. He's controlling the play from the back end. I think his defensive game has also improved a little bit this year. But right now, for me, it's Hughes as the winner by a decent margin, too. I mean, no knock on Makar or anybody else, but I don't see anybody supplanting Hughes at the moment.
Hughes has been playing at such a high level that I gave it to him as well. I just can't I can't believe that this is the same guy that was going out there the last 2 years. This is who all of us kind of expected he was going to grow into. And again, credit to he's looking like his Uncle Marty out there. So I got to say, that's a great thing. But Phil, you had somebody else.
I think Quinn Hughes is going to win it. Do I think he should? No. I think it's Morrissey. I think Josh Morrissey has been as good as any defenseman in the league. If you ask me what a defenseman should be doing, it's what Josh Morrissey is doing right now. Josh Morrissey's on pace for over 60 points. He's more vital to his team than Quinn Hughes is. If Quinn Hughes is playing the way he's playing last year, Vancouver is still a really good team. Still a really good team. They're still getting offensive production out of him. Josh Morrissey is probably the second most important player on Winnipeg, I would say behind Connor Hellebuyck. And Morrissey's a big part of their offense. He is the anchor on defense. He is a leader on that team. Honestly, for me, it's Morrissey. I know he's not going to get it just because we're at a point where we need a Bobby Orr award for best offensive defenseman. And the Norris needs to be for the best all around defenseman at this point, because it just keeps going to guys who just put up tons of points and that really aren't that good defensively anymore. That's what this award has become. So,
yeah, or they do put up the points and then they overlook them like they did for Roman Josi. Because again, like, Cale Makar is having a fantastic season. I'm not taking anything away from him on that. But yeah, it's basically these three guys.
An injury, though.
I think that's one thing that's going to help open up the field, Phil, because there's so many guys that were out with injury. Adam Fox was out, and like you said, he hasn't been that great, and that's really helping out matters. But guys, moving on to the Vezina Trophy, the mid-season Vezina, and we all agree on it. Mr. LaRocco, will you do the honors?
Connor Hellebuyck, Winnipeg Jets. You know, he's been fantastic. You know, one of the only guys that has a better save percentage than him is Aiden Hill, but he's only played in 15 games. So, yeah. I mean, but de facto, that makes Hellebuyck one in my book. You know, this is a guy, he's always been viewed as, I would say, a top, you know, 5-6 goaltender in the league. And this year he's certainly playing like he's the best goalie in the league. You know, he's their Jets backbone. When their defense does break down, he's there. You know, he's a workhorse in net. And he gives them a chance to win every single night they play. And, you know, good for him for having a year there where he's the standout. And like I said, barring something changing, I don't see him not winning the Vezina.
And Philip, what are your thoughts on Hellebuyck?
Best goalie in the league right now. He's already won a Vezina. I think he wins his second Vezina. He's playing behind a team that's playing good defensively too. So that's going to help his numbers out. Thatcher Demko was a finalist for me. Cam Talbot was another finalist for me. But it's Hellebuyck. And I honestly don't really think it's close.
He's almost like a throwback to a classic number one goalie. He has taken the load where Hill has a lightened load. I mean, Cam Talbot really came close. There you go, Cor. I'm saying Cam Talbot came close for me to say it in there. But although his numbers are dropping as of late, but Hellebuyck, he's already got the hardware. And he's got my respect. And I got to say, he's got Winnipeg on a whole new level. He keeps us up. Yeah. Well, I almost picked him. He keeps us up. Wow. Winnipeg is going to happen.
Can you imagine Mark picking Talbot and then doing a 10-minute rant about how Cam Talbot is not that great? That'd be amazing. I would be the ultimate. I just stuck my head in my ass and talked.
We all have to eat crow on that, because during the season previews, we were trashing the Kings goaltending, saying how are they going to win Phoenix Copley and Cam Talbot. And Cam Talbot is turning in a fantastic year.
Yeah, but so. The thing is with Talbot, he's playing good, but he's really, really boosted behind a strong defensive team.
Yeah, and absolutely
strong enough to go ahead and bench or basically almost bench Pierre-Luc Dubois, banish him to the fourth line. So just think about how good that LA team is.
And also, just to bench it, the first half of the season, all great. Talk to me in March, because that's where you might start seeing some cracks. Speaking of which, you need a steady hand from a good coach. Todd McClellan's doing a great job out in LA. He's not my pick. Philk, who do you have winning the Jack Adams?
I'm going to be the homer. I know I'm going to get accused of it, but it's Peter Laviolette. It's got to be for me, because of all the injuries that this guy has had to deal with all season, he's managed to keep this Ranger team in first place. Yes, they've been playing real bad defensively over the last month or so in terms of up and down, game to game. But, I mean, the only other guy that I really think that has a case for me, and I listed two finalists for me, but Rick Bonus in Winnipeg, who would, if it's not Laviolette, it's Bonus for me. My other finalist was Jim Montgomery in Boston, considering the lack of center depth that they have and what he's getting from his roster is really, really good for me. I know John Tortorella is going to get some votes, but I'm going Laviolette. It's to deal with as many injuries as he's dealt with, constant lineup changes, trying to figure out who's going to be the first line right winger and getting anything out of Blake Wheeler's decrepit ass. Peter Laviolette gets my nod.
And just to extend more than what you're saying, Philk, I mean, he's hasn't had Philip Hedel since the first week of November, and he's still getting some production out of that bottom six. He's done a great job, and he's also known when to hit the throttle and when to kind of lay off of it with the Rangers. Mm-hmm. And it's funny you mentioned about one of your finalists, Anthony. Who do you got?
I went with Rick Bonus in Winnipeg. You know, this is a team that were in the offseason. They were talking about, like, would Scheifele and Hellebuck go? And, you know, is this a team that starts in, you know, to retool? They both end up signing extensions, staying, and then, you know, they just churn out the season that they're having. You know, I think, you know, good leadership and having a good voice in the room is really important on top of having skill. And I think Rick Bonus has made them all believe. And they're having a fantastic season. So I also have my other finalists were Rick Tocchet in Vancouver, because that's, again, I don't think anybody expected Vancouver to be the second best team in the league. He's done a great job. And then John Tortorella I had, because the Flyers, let's face it, everyone is expecting the Flyers to be one of the worst teams in the league. And here we are, halfway point of the season, and they're, you know, within shouting distance. It's second place in the division. And when you look at their roster on paper, I mean, not even close to the skill that some of these other teams have. So you got to give credit to Torts and Philly. But there's a lot of good choices. Montgomery, I mean, he could be considered. Laviolette, I mean, I think the Jack Adams discussion this year is going to be really interesting of how it plays out.
Say that because you know what? John Tortorella is mine. You look at all those teams you guys just mentioned, there's talent all over the place. The Philadelphia Flyers do not have the talent level. They actually, you could even argue, they had more reclamation projects. Nobody knew that Carter Hart would be this good. Or with you kind of thought they might go into a rebuild after this. And you're saying to yourself, why would you go into the tank? Instead, they've improved their team. And there's a statement from the top to the bottom. If you don't want to be here, then you're not going to be here. More on that in our Bar Talk segment. Hmm. So, guys, let's go to the MVP. I'm going to start this off, and I'm going to cede to you, Anthony, to go into the full description. Nate MacKinnon, go ahead, because we all agree on this one.
Yeah, I picked Nate MacKinnon, too. He's having a monster year. I mean, for me, you know what for me is impressive is that you could say that he has other good players on his team like Rantanen, Makar, but even despite how good those guys are, he has a 66-51. He's got a 15-point lead on the next highest scorer on his team in Rantanen. I mean, that's impressive. It just goes to show how, you know, how good he is, how he really makes the wheels turn there in Colorado. And you know, right now, he's especially lately, he's playing like he's a man on a mission. And, you know, we talk about like the best players in the world. I think we all agree, like McDavid's one, and, you know, depending on who you talk to, maybe Draisaitl at two, but Nathan MacKinnon is one of the most elite players we've seen over the last few years. He's got immense skill. And for me, right now, he's my pick. And that's not a knock on other guys you could make a case for. I mean, you know, you can make a case for Panarin. You can make a case for Kucherov, even though his team is maybe underachieving a little bit. But MacKinnon right now, for me, is the easy answer here.
Phil, you had Nathan MacKinnon as well.
Yeah. They've lost some talent over the years. I mean, Gabriel Landeskog, who knows if he's ever going to play again, because his career may end up being over. They've lost some other guys. And they have a still a talented but not the juggernaut team that they had 2 years ago that we all thought was going to be this crazy juggernaut for years and years. But for me, it's MacKinnon. Connor McDavid, he's always going to have a spot there. And at least in the finalists, he may have even end up winning it if Edmonton makes the playoffs and he leads the league in scoring. He's probably going to win it. But I have to give it to MacKinnon. Artemi Panarin was another finalist for me, just because without Artemi Panarin, the Rangers are nowhere, because that offense is all centered around him. He's one of the top scoring players at 5-on-5. If you take away his 5-on-5 goals from the Rangers are probably dead last in the league in 5-on-5 offense. So I definitely got to go with MacKinnon, but props to Panarin, who's having a season that deserves it, and also Connor McDavid for just being like, okay, I'm still the best player in the world, and there's not a damn thing you're going to do about it, because when I want to be, I'm just going to dominate everybody.
I got to say, guys, and again, I came this close to putting Panarin in there because I do think the gap between Panarin and his guys are there. But there are seasons where you just watch guys and you just say to yourself, this is the best player in the league right now. That's what Nathan MacKinnon's doing right now. He is just passing the eye test with flying colors. And he just looks the part of a guy who is determined to win his first Hart Trophy. And he might not even care. He's just they're just playing at such a high level. And Colorado is a top-heavy team. And they're showing why they can be, because they could just rely on MacKinnon. All right.
Now, it's crazy. So, it's crazy to say this, but are we not giving enough credit to the league's leading scorer here at all, just during Nikita Kucherov? I feel like not being talked about. 67 points leads the whole league. And not much mentioned.
I get it. I think totally he's there. Like, at the same time, like, you look at Tampa and where they are in the standings. I mean, they're not even in a wild card spot right now. They're 1 point back of the wild card, and the two teams tied for that last wild card have three games in hand on them. Tampa has a -8 goal differential. They're not that good of a team. So this could be another situation where it ends up being like Jerome McGinley 2002, where he could end up leading the league in scoring. Tampa ends up missing the playoffs. He doesn't get the trophy because of it. Remember, that was Theodore's Hart and Vezina year in 2002. Mm-hmm. And McGinley was on the cover of NHL 2003 because of the year that he had that year. So
it's amazing. And I think the lack of team success is what would end up, like, if you had – let's take, for instance, let's go back to 1994. John Van Beesbrouck, and he was – and Jose Theodore, I believe he had another season like this, where both these guys were amazing, and their teams weren't exactly that much of winners. And then they were – in Van Beesbrouck's case, he was a finalist. In Theodore's case, he won the Hart Trophy that year, correct? Or the, just the Vezina?
He won the Hart and the Vezina in 2002. Okay. Yeah. He became the first goalie to do it since, I think, John Plant.
No, Hašek definitely won.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Right? Hašek, yeah, I'm sorry. The second goalie since Hašek, 97 and 98. And then, you know, Plant was the other, the third, I'm sorry.
But I understand what you're saying, Anthony, because when you produce like that, I think, again, going with the perception and the eye test, you're talking about Tampa, the team that was always on top, and now they're here. Because one guy, there's a couple underrated guys this season we're going to talk about in Bartok in a little bit. And, you know, it's just, I think nobody's going to have that underdog perception with Kucherov. It's going to be that, you know, the Lightning should be challenging for the division lead, not scraping wins together to stay in the playoff race. And guys, let's go one last one to the midseason Stanley Cup Finals. Phil, let's go with you first.
Just because I've got to believe, and I've got to believe that they're going to make moves. I'm going with Rangers of Winnipeg. Winnipeg, if they get everything, I know Vancouver looked real good in these three games in their little Metro swing here, but something about that team defensively come playoff time just doesn't sit right with me. You're going to depend on Tyler Myers, and I like Philip Ronick, but Philip Ronick is not a proven playoff defender, and Quinn Hughes has not really looked great in the playoffs as well. So I'm going to go with Winnipeg because I think goaltending eventually wins in the playoffs. And I think that Winnipeg has a good enough team to counteract Vancouver's speed with their defense and their structure. And then you've got the equalizer in net and Connor Hellebuck. I also think that Vancouver would probably have a real tough time with Winnipeg's size and physicality. I also think LA could give Vancouver a real run for their money, but that's another story. I have to think that the Rangers are going to make moves to fix everything. They're going to make that over-the-top move. And you know what? Screw it. I'll say it. The Rangers are going to go get him, Elias Lindholm. They're going to go get him. I have a feeling that this is going to be the year. It just reminds me too much of the 91, 92, and 92, 93 teams where they start getting to the point where they realize that they were that close, but they need a certain type of player to bring in to help put them over the top. And they're going to go make those moves to get those players to be brought in here. So if it's Frank Vetrano and Elias Lindholm, I have a feeling that they're going to go do that. And if you ask me, if Jacob Chychrun is really available, I would go offer one of Keandre Miller or Ryan Lindgren to Ottawa and then some to get Jacob Chychrun and turn this defense around.
Wow. Those are some powerful words right there. That is amazing, Phil.
And the analytic geeks are wrong.
He was number two in Selke Trophy voting 2 years ago.
Wrong.
And as a matchup center in the playoffs, that's what you would need to negate some guys. And by the way, again, if the season ended right now, I'm still going with a rematch of the 94 finals. The Vancouver Canucks versus the New York Rangers. Right now, I'd have the Vancouver Canucks winning it. Sorry, guys. They looked impressive Monday night and last night.
It's one game.
I know it's just one game. But Vancouver, and the reason why I think Winnipeg, even though they're tops in the NHL, their road right now, you got to go through either, if not both, Dallas and Colorado. That's going to be a rough road. I like Winnipeg's road as of right now. And I think the Rangers' road, as of right now, is easier, and a lot of their questions are answered already. Who's in net? What's their lineup going to be? They're going to go out and acquire more players, but as of right now, I would have the Rangers over the Bruins because I don't know who their goalies are, and that's an important thing for me. You can't be flip-flopping goalies in playoff time. Anthony, who do you got for the Stanley Cup Finals?
Nashville Predators versus the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, well, most unserious answer ever.
It's funny that Phil mentions Elias Lindholm because I'm going to go with the two teams that have been the most linked to him over the last, I don't know, month or so. That's the Boston Bruins and the Colorado Avalanche. I think the Bruins, I mean, we said we were going to take steps back. They didn't. They're still a really good team. Despite their lack of center depth, I think they're going to be really, really motivated to try to acquire Lindholm. The only thing is they don't have a lot of first-round picks in their bank here, so I don't know if they can find a way to make it work. But if Boston could add another center, I think they're going to be a real strong contender to come out of the East. They're one of the stingiest teams defensively. You know, I know Ullmark just got hurt, but with Ullmark and Swayman, even though I don't agree with the whole every other start thing, they make a great duo, provide great goaltending. So if they could add another center like Lindholm, I think that propels them to the top. And the same thing for Colorado. I think they're certainly going to be looking for some other pieces. I think they're going to be a team that probably looks to add a defenseman and then also and maybe another scoring forward like Lindholm. But, Winnipeg and Vancouver, I like them a lot, but I think when it comes to playoff success and playoffs, really kind of in general, more so for the Canucks, but they're not, I don't know if they have the experience to make a long run right off the bat with both those teams. So I don't know. I don't think they'll go all the way, but I guess we'll see. But for me, I Colorado, they're a team that's been there before. They know what it takes to win. And I think that they're going to be looking to add some pieces here to help them. So that right now, that would be my pick.
And Anthony, it's kind of funny that you say that because the Rangers and Vancouver Canucks played Monday, and so did the Bruins and the Colorado Avalanche play this week. So you had two previews that we had for the Stanley Cup Finals right now.
I'm sorry. I just want to get something in real quick, just outside of hockey real quick. This is one of my good friends in real life. I play hockey with him and his son. They just had, during that storm, they just had a tree fall on their house, and they are disposed right now. So everybody, keep Jason and his family in your thoughts. I just wanted to throw that out there. Love you, brother.
Yeah. That's tough. That is tough, and hopefully everything recovers soon. But, hey, so everybody, that was our midseason awards. What differences do you might have with us? Put them all down in the comments below. And we are going to do some bar talk right now and go over some of the things we didn't talk about in this.
Shot. This is the easiest I've ever had to answer.
I'm going to say beer. I can't even begin to describe.
I'm actually going to go crazy. I'm going to buy everybody around on this one.
Because welcome back to Big Apple Hockey's Bar Talk, everybody, where we're gauging our confidence on NHL topics based on our choice of drink. Are you so confident that you're buying everybody around so-so a beer? Or, oh, God, I need a shot. And, of course, play along down in the comments below. And why go to the liquor store when you can make it a drizzly night? Have somebody else bring the liquor to you. Liquor, wine, beer, whatever you want. And, of course, Big Apple Hockey trucker hats are available. So let's start on Long Island for this. And yeah, well, you know what? I do some self alley-oops, but again, it's talk about it, Corey.
Oh my God. We're going to get this guy a basketball hoop so he can do all of his little self layups and alley-oops and stuff like that.
Well, yeah.
I would need to do that. His basketball jersey.
Anthony, let's start on Long Island, where Matt Barzal is having probably his best offensive season since his rookie year. 11 goals, 30 assists, and a +1 rating. He's got 41 points. Matt Barzal is the Islanders' midseason MVP.
Oof. Honestly, this is – Mark, I got to give credit. This is actually not a layup. Because, you know, the Islanders have some guys who are really been going for him. I mean, we all know Noah Dobson, the season he's having. Bo Horvat is having a good year. I mean, Brock Nelson just scored his 19th goal. So, you know, he's on his way to, you know, sniffing 40 again. But you know what? I'm going to go beer here because, you know, Adam Pellock just came back, but he missed 20 games. Ryan Pollock's still out, hasn't resumed skating. And with those two guys out, Noah Dobson had a lot of responsibility on him. to really, you know, kind of improve his defensive game on top of still being, you know, the most prolific offensive point getter on the team. And he's played in all situations, penalty kill. And granted, the penalty kill struggled, but that's not on him. But he's played a lot of minutes on the penalty kill. He plays the power play minutes. With those two guys out, you know, him and Romanov has been used as the shutdown pair, and they've done an admirable job. So I think you can make a case for him because of this. As actually, you know, Pete's just saying this has to be Dobson. So, yeah, I'm going to go Beer because of all of Dobson's success, but that's not to discount Barzal. I mean, Barzal has been, like you said, he's playing like he did in his rookie year. He's showing his skill off more this season. No doubt he's helped Bo Horvat, vice versa. But, yeah, it's a tough one, Mark, so credit to you. But I'll go Beer here.
Doug?
I'm going to go Shot, and I'm going to say it's Noah Dobson. And to me, I have him as a Norris finalist right now.
Yeah,
I picked Morrissey, even though I think Quinn Hughes win it. I think that Noah Dobson's been the force for them. For me, he's taken that next step. He looks like he's established himself as a top-level puck mover. I still think he needs to work on his defense a little bit, even though it's improved. Plus 16 on a team that has a negative 12 goal differential, as Pete says here, that's pretty damn impressive. That's part of why I picked Sidney Crosby as a Selke finalist, because he's plus 14 on that Pittsburgh team, and that's incredible. So, yeah, I'm going with Dobson. It's a shot for me here.
My choice would be Dobson, but it's just going to be a Beer for me. There are too many guys that I look at with the Islanders that they you could say they're the MVP of the team. We've already talked about Horvat. Nelson always gets an option for me because I think the guy is just playing at such a high level right now. Overlooked on every single list for Team USA. There's a place for him, guys. Trust me. And the last one kind of needs to be talked about. I know his numbers are down, but if you look at the defensive metrics of the Islanders, Ilya Sorokin kind of needs to be talked about, because there was a post today from Jay Fresh Hockey that some of the analytics are saying that the Islanders are a worse defensive team than the San Jose Sharks, and it's their goaltending that is bailing them out. Even if I want to say those numbers are a little bit
even
back,
if I wanted to agree with that, has he been watching Sorokin lately? Because Sorokin has not been himself. Sure,
no, he hasn't been.
Defense has not helped him, but Sorokin, just like Shesterkin for the Rangers, they've both not been themselves this year. They haven't made big saves when they needed to.
They're overcompensating, and that's been part of the problem. And speaking about which, one of the guys that looked real good for the most part this year, Jonathan Quick, Bilk, he's been great for the New York Rangers, especially when Shesterkin went down. But since November 25th, 4-2-1, 893 save percentage, and his goals against is over 3. Phil, Jonathan Quick has reverted back to last year's performance.
It's 7 starts that he's had, and he's had an under a 900 or under save percentage in 5 of those starts. In 2 of them, I think he was like over 930, including a 960 performance. I'm only going to say Beer just because I think this could just be a little bit of a lull. And he's also gotten less time with Igor being back. So maybe the repetitions part of it is throwing him off a little bit, because it seemed like when he was playing every day, he was playing better. Maybe he's a la Curtis Joseph, how he used to be better with the more shots he faced in a game. So
Mike Richter too.
I'm only going to say Beer. Mike Richter's another story. He was prone to soft goals way too many times. But I'm going to say Beer here.
Anthony, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go Beer too. I mean, those numbers off that on that stretch you showed, I mean, they're certainly not good. But it is only 7 games. You know, maybe if he keeps playing like that, let's say his next 5-6 starts, yeah. But for now, I'll say Beer.
You know what? Even if you include the rest of the games, you could throw on 3 more games where he's had a fewer than 900 save percentage. And, you know, obviously he had three shutouts. So that's even better. You know something? Jonathan Quick is back to being an old goaltender, and he's looking at, I'm going to buy a round on this. And I'd start getting concerned, and I've been concerned for a while because everybody wants to talk about how great Jonathan Quick has been. You look at some of those numbers individually, here's game by other, game, they're the not adding up.
Here's the other part of it, though. The team has been playing like crap defensively for the last month and change, which is about the time that that stretch started. It was the Boston game where he gave up those goals. And ever since that Boston game, they've been lackadaisical defensively. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is kind of –
it's a little bit nitpicky.
Yeah. I think it's a little nitpicky, but they were also playing better defense in front of Quick than they were in front of Shesterkin for a little bit there. So –
Phil, you were mentioning him before, Sidney Crosby, and Brad Marchand had this to say about him. I think he's obviously one of the best in the world, but he's not really getting the credit he deserves right now. Anthony, Sidney Crosby is the best under-the-radar player in the league this season.
Yeah, you know, I'll go around here. I mean, I think a lot of, you know, what happens is you got a guy like Crosby who's getting older, you know, towards the latter part of his career, and you have all these younger guys coming in that are always talked about. So sometimes now this guy, this type of player, Crosby, starts to fly under the radar, but he's still fantastic. You watch him, you know, as well as still being a real prolific scorer. He knows the game really well. He's in position. He's, you know, hustles back defensively. You know, and for a guy who doesn't really like the Penguins too much, or, you know, or him over the years, I got to give him a lot of credit. He stayed to be at the top of his game as he's getting older. And I think he deserves to be talked about more for sure.
Phil, what do you think?
I'm going to say beer just because I think people still talk about him. I mean, I saw a segment on him on NHL where Mike Rupp and I think Mike Kelly as well were both gushing over his play. I think Mike Kelly even tried to say that he should be in the MVP conversation. He's the analytics guy that's on NHL Network. So while I think he may be not really flying under the radar as much as you guys are suggesting, maybe he's not getting the name recognition because he's nowhere near the top of the scoring list, but he's still playing very well. For me, why is nobody talking about Vincent Trocheck? He's got 40 points in 39 games. And yeah, I get he's playing with Artemi Panarin. But he played with Artemi Panarin last year and only had 60 points. So, I mean, Vincent Trocheck's obviously found a new level to his game, and nobody's talking about that. Robert Thomas in St. Louis, why is nobody talking about him? 41 points in 39 games. Why is nobody talking about him? I mean, that's another one you could talk. Nashville, Philip Forsberg, 45 points in 41 games, 21 goals. He's on pace for about 40 goals. And almost 90 points. Why is nobody talking about him? I mean, they're to me, Crosby's having a great year and it's not being talked about as much. Sure. But there are other guys that I think would definitely. So I'm going to say beer here.
I'm going to go beer too. And I don't know if anybody could tell, but there were beads of sweat that were starting to come from my forehead. As Philk was listing all of his players, I was ready for him to list the guy that I had locked and loaded. How about Sam Reinhart? Nobody is talking about Sam Reinhart, and he's having a great season. And let's see, I think he's got 51 points right now. But I mean, he's just having an incredible year. Look, Sidney Crosby could do it in so many different ways. And let's all be honest, we wish Sidney Crosby landed on our team. But yeah, there it is. Fuck yeah. Thank you, Pete. 29, 22, and for 51 points. And he's still playing great defensively. But there was a big signing this year, guys, this week, the year just started. Monday, the Toronto Maple Leafs extend William Nylander to a $92 million extension. Guys, the Maple Leafs extension of William Nylander is a big mistake. And I know it's going to sound funny, guys. I'm going to buy a round on this. What are they doing?
I got to head out, fellas.
Take it easy, Anthony. Have a great night.
Yeah, and you know what? This is a – I don't know. I think this is a shot.
You go first.
I think it's a shot. I sent you guys the other day their cap situation with Nylander's new cap hit reflected, and it's going to be tight, but you know, they could still feel the team. You know, he's playing at an elite level, and clearly you don't want to lose a guy like that. So they had to pay him. They had no choice. I don't think it was a big mistake. I mean, I think what's ultimately going to happen is, you know, maybe, like I said, maybe if things go really poorly this year, they look to trade Tavares's last year, but I still think he probably finishes his contract out with the team. My only concern is when Marner's up the year after that, they're going to have to pay Marner big bucks. But by then, Tavares's contract will be off the books. So honestly, I really don't see it as an issue. I don't.
Okay. All right, good, because I was hoping you were going to answer that question before you had to cut out.
Yeah.
Talk to you later, Anthony. And now, Phil, I just look at the economics of it. You're going to have four players. I'm not sure about that one just yet. But they're going to have four players making over $10 million. We just had the first team win a Stanley Cup with a player with a $10 million contract. You know what? He should not be making that money. Chris T is on the nose right here. Saying,
yeah, it's different contracts signed at different times. I'm sorry, but you know what? It's like the next man up in football. The next quarterback gets that biggest deal. Like who?
Next pitcher.
It's the next one.
So. Yeah. So, Phil, what do you think? I think it's going to have a trickle down effect on the rest of the team. This is why you end up with goaltenders like
Samsonov. I can't say it. I gotta say shot here, just because I don't like the fact that they did it. I personally would have tried to trade him earlier. I would have, but you know what? They found a way to make the cap work next year. It's gonna work. And then eventually they'll be able to move John Tavares, and that'll be their out. So it's a shot.
All right. I mean, long-term, I do not like this for the Leafs. And it doesn't matter what my opinion is on Nylander. Great player, good season. I'm also thinking, you know, you're making that much money. I'm not sure if he's a franchise player. It's as funny as it sounds. So –
That 11.5 million is not a franchise player anymore. It's guys that are point per game, 90 point to 100 point players at this point. So,
I mean, any other team that probably is franchise player money. Hey, Phil, Marc-Andre Fleury tied Patrick Waugh for second most in all-time wins. Marc-Andre Fleury is a top 10 all-time goaltender.
Shot. What the hell is this? Shot. And I like Marc-Andre Fleury. He's a good guy, good dude, likable, the top 10 goaltender of all time. So you're telling me that you're going to put him ahead of Ed Belfour, Patrick Waugh, Marty Brodeur, Dominic Hasek, Jacques Plante, Ken Dryden? I mean, no, absolutely not. I could go... I would take Tony Esposito over him as well. There are other goaltenders that I would absolutely take over Marc-Andre Fleury. Marc-Andre Fleury won one Stanley Cup as a starter. In 2016, he got benched basically for Matt Murray. Matt Murray won them the 2016 Stanley Cup. When in 2017, he got them to, what, the conference finals? And then
Matt finals
back, and they won the Stanley Cup with Matt Murray in net. No, I'm sorry, but Marc-Andre Fleury is not a top 10 goaltender of all time. He's a very good goaltender, a compiler. He's going to go in the Hall of Fame, but he is not, by all means, not a top 10 goaltender of all time. Terry Sawchuk is another guy I would absolutely take over him. I mean, if we really need to go, you know, over, I would take Henrik Lundqvist over him. Marc-Andre Fleury wasn't the best goaltender of his generation. He is not a top 10 goaltender of all time. Sorry, he's not. He's second in wins and has three rings. Okay. He's got one Vezina trophy and he only has one Stanley Cup as a starter. won Stanley Cup as a starter. Henrik Lundqvist's lifetime numbers are better than him, and Henrik Lundqvist is widely considered the best goalie of his generation. Marc-Andre Fleury is not. End of story.
Well, and Phil, I'm going to actually not block your face and go with shot two on this. And my reasoning for talking about this is, yeah, I'm not even sure, extending from what you're saying, I definitely can't put him ahead of Carey Price and Henrik Lundqvist in his own generation. So now,
yeah, Carey Price at his peak was far better than Marc-Andre Fleury. But Carey Price won a Hart and a Vezina in the same season. Yeah, albeit 88 points was the scoring lead that year. That was terrible, Jamie Benn. But Fleury, yeah, longevity is one thing and compiling is another. But Marc-Andre Fleury was the sieve for the Pittsburgh Penguins for so long. He was their scapegoat. He was their fallout guy. He is the fourth most important player on that team. Sorry, not sorry.
So this is what makes him more interesting as like a as a case study, if you will, Phil. Because as you just said, everything is 100% true. He then goes to Vegas and completely reshapes people's opinions about him, takes him to a Stanley Cup final on his first season, wins a Vezina trophy there, is then passed around to Chicago and then to Minnesota, hasn't really dealt with the success, but he hasn't had that. You remember that meme years ago, nice try, but I dodged your shot again when it came to him. And eventually, how do you say, I think the joke was also, how do you say, Marc-Andre Fleury in Spanish, Roberto Luongo, because he didn't have a good 2014 playoff season, I think it was. But, you know, it's just, he's an interesting case study. I actually have no idea where to place Marc-Andre Fleury in history. Like, the guy's been a solid goalie, but in the playoffs, he's been up and down. And yeah.
This is a great, great analogy right here. Frank Gore,
great comparison.
Is the third leading rusher overall because of longevity. Is he a top 10 running back of all time? Okay. No, he's not.
No.
Are you putting him ahead of Emmett Smith? No. Are you putting him ahead of Jim Brown? No. Are you putting him ahead of Walter Payton? No. Are you putting him ahead of Barry Sanders? No.
Here's another thing. Ahead of Roger Craig.
Is Emmett Smith a better running back than Barry Sanders? No. Emmett Smith got three championships because he played on a better team and played, what, six more years than Barry Sanders to break his rushing record? Barry Sanders retired, what, about 1,000 yards short of Walter Payton? Yeah, no, I'm telling you right now, Marc-Andre Fleury, great that he got to where he was and wins, but if you're going to try to tell me that he's better than the goaltenders in the top 10, I have another thing coming for you, man. Longevity does not mean that. No, Mario, I was not talking about you. I was talking about responses like,
yeah,
this one here from Pete. Sorry. I'm going to call you out, Pete. The longevity and compilation elevates him. Yeah, no, sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you out there.
In this one, I have to agree with you on that. I don't think that's exactly the case. And we got two more guys. Then we're going
to
be.
So I want the people that keep the energy for that argument to keep that energy for when it comes to talking about Derek Jeter. Because for years I hear Derek Jeter's a compiler. Derek Jeter's a compiler. He's overrated. This and that. Blah, 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 blah. Okay? Then if that argument works for Marc-Andre Fleury, then it has to work for Derek Jeter.
I've said this before, Phil, and let me be really quick about this because we do have two more topics and maybe a little bit of Q&A. Because I got to get out to everybody that's outside waiting for me. But Derek Jeter has more 200 hit seasons than the New York Mets as a franchise. Derek Jeter wasn't a compiler. Derek Jeter was – he's not the best Yankee of all time. He's not even close. I put him at 7. But that's just off the top of my head. And that's not to offend him. It's more to talk about the greatness of the organization.
And if you want to say that we don't see goaltenders doing what Marc-Andre Fleury has done, yes, we have. It's Martin Brodeur. And Dominic Hasek and Patrick Waugh are still better goaltenders than him.
I would take Patrick Waugh in a heartbeat any day.
Sorry.
And you know what? Marc-Andre Fleury would probably say the same thing, Philk. Going to Friday night, Brendan Smith hits Connor Bedard with an open ice hit. Bedard, fractured jaw, expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks. Sorry that it says no timetable for the return. Philk.
Oh, get the gift.
Oh, we'll get the gift. We haven't had it out all night. Because they did update the timetable. There you go. So, Philk, there's nothing wrong with Brendan Smith's hit on Connor Bedard.
I watched it. I didn't think there was anything egregiously wrong with it. Bedard had his head down. I mean, you get no, I don't think there was anything wrong. He had his head down. It's just, I know people are outraged over it because it's Bedard, but keep your head up, kid.
You know what? And so what, is that a round?
Layup.
Okay, there it is. We haven't had one yet. And you know something? People were talking about this all weekend on Twitter. And a matter of fact, my partner over here said, you better have that energy for when next time Jacob Trouba hits somebody. Yeah, you know what? He keeps his elbow in. He doesn't target the head. He comes forward because he's trying to go through him. That's a clean hit.
Richardson would have said otherwise. No, he did say otherwise. Luke Richardson didn't have a problem with the hit. And Luke Richardson.
By the way, great seeing Chris Jay. I mean, but of course, Richardson's going to say he doesn't like the hit. He's his coach.
No, Richardson said he had no problem with it.
Oh, he did? Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you said he did say otherwise.
No, Richardson had no problem with it. He came out and said it himself.
He was the guy that used to deliver those things.
Yeah.
So that's me speaking out of both ends of my mouth right there. And lastly, Phil, we got to talk about this one. And Carter Gauthier refused to play for the Flyers, according to reports. The Flyers traded him to Anaheim for Jamie Drysdale and a second-round pick. Actually, there's two topics in this one. The Flyers handled the Carter Gauthier situation correctly.
Yeah, I would say they did as good of a job as they could with this. It came out today on Daily Faceoff with Frank Saravalli, Johnny Lazarus, and Colby Cohen that John LeClair and who's the other one that went? John LeClair. Oh, Patrick Sharp. Sorry. John LeClair and Patrick Sharp. How could I forget Patrick Sharp when we met him in Vegas? But, they went to visit him and talk about, how everything was going. And he basically sent his like coach out and said that, he didn't want to play for them and didn't want to talk to them. So, But Kevin Hayes ended up getting caught up in this talk because they're close. And, he received death threats and people were saying things that like, we're happy Jimmy is dead or something like
that. Yeah.
Just scummy things coming from some terrible fans. They handled it as best as they could. They got back. Although, I'm kind of iffy on Drysdale right now because I wonder if he ever stays healthy enough to become the defenseman that he could become. He's a great skater. I wonder about his defensive game, but his health is the biggest issue because he just cannot stay healthy. So, I'm going to say round here. They handled it as best as they could.
I think it takes some serious, serious balls, for lack of a better word. I was trying to figure out which one to go with this. Keith Jones, guest of our show. Got to applaud the way he handled it. You say you don't want to be a Flyer? All right, we'll move on from you. And I think getting Jamie Drysdale back, they got back a hell of a player and a second-round pick for Carter Gauthier, who looks like he might be a pretty good player. And now Anaheim, you look at their assets that they got going, more on Anaheim in 1 second. But then you also got to look at the the way that this was handled, it was handled swiftly, and it was handled correctly. Look, could they have tried to talk him into staying? Sure, they could have. But if he didn't want to listen, don't bother.
Yeah.
You don't need – we know my opinion about malcontents. You don't need the malcontents. If you can't smooth it over, you move on from them.
I don't like the Flyers as a Ranger fan, obviously, but I love the mindset and approach to this. Like, you know what? You don't want to be here. Screw you. You're out. We don't care. And they got what they got for him. They did it quickly. They didn't drag his name through the mud. They got it done. They didn't turn this into a Jack Eichel Buffalo Sabres situation, which is great. I love the way
– Or an Eric Lindros in the Flyers situation.
The Eric Lindros situation. That goes beyond hockey, though. That goes well beyond hockey. And there were other extenuating factors. Carl and Bonnie Lindros that were involved in that. That, yeah.
And by the way, Phil, let's also be fair to something else. The one thing I have not heard from the Flyers themselves, Jones, Freer, anybody else, they have not said a bad word about Cutter. They've just said, you're not going to be here.
And they like I said, they've done everything right to a team. Textbook. They've handled this as well as any team can. Maybe if Chuck Fletcher. not exactly the greatest job in Philly, but
to say the least.
Keith Jones, gotta commend Keith Jones and Danny Briere and so on for handling it the way that they did. I don't think there's any real comparison between these two. Fox wanted to be with his hometown team, and I think everybody knew that, and that's why he was traded twice, because he wanted to go sign with the Rangers. Gauthier said that it's supposedly Gauthier and his agent, they're going to come out and they're going to clarify it soon. I don't know exactly when they're going to do it, but that's what I heard. We'll get more information and we'll see what happened. But I mean, they Philadelphia did everything they could. They played it. They played their hand exactly the way they should have played it. And they got a decent return for him. So kudos to Philadelphia. But Cutter Gauthier is out of the division. So, I mean, I think he's going to be a pretty good player for a while.
And also to mention something else in this, Phil, that in the Fox case, both teams acquired assets when Fox was traded. I believe it was the Hennepin Lindholm deal when Fox was traded out of Calgary. And I think it was 2 second-round picks, or it was just 1 second-round pick, where the Rangers could have sat back and went, hey, we don't have to give you anything. We know he's coming. So, but the ripple effect of this, Phil, is Trevor Zegras is now all the way up to fourth on the daily faceoff trade board. The Ducks will deal Trevor Zegras by the deadline.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think if he's I'm going to say shot, actually. He's hurt, so now he's out for a bit. So that's going to change that up. But I also think that it's going to be a tougher offseason type deal for Trevor Zegras. I think this deal is probably a little bigger, if anything. I do get the sense that Verbeek is looking to have a bigger, stronger, faster team, kind of like the Anaheim teams from like 2015, you know, the 2010s, basically, like that type of build, a big team that could skate and play physical. I think Verbeek is going towards that. And I think he's doing kind of like a flush, if you will, kind of how like Drury did to Gorton's guys, got rid of a lot of Gorton's guys over the first couple of years. I think Verbeek is doing that for the previous regime. So I do think that you'll eventually see Zegras dealt, but I don't think it's by the deadline.
Yeah, I'm actually only going to go beer, and that's because there's a lot that's making me kind of wonder whether or not this is going to happen. And just you summarize as best you can, and perfectly, I should say, Verbeek and his thinking on all these players. Because you get this feeling that he wants to get away from finesse. He wants to get away from just purely skilled guys. But you need a mesh of those guys if you're going to succeed. The teams that are just brute force, grind it out, they don't win in the playoffs. The teams that are just finesse, they don't win in the playoffs. So you need that mix that's going to be in there. You got to say, though, that his stock might be at the highest or lowest it's been. I don't know which one to say it is, because if you do get him, you could potentially have a number one center signed for relatively pretty good money, and you got him locked up for two more years. And he already had the contract dispute with them, so maybe there's a little bit of bad blood. Maybe they try to move him at the deadline. But on the other hand, there's no rush for Pat Verbeek. He doesn't have to do anything. He can just sit back and relax.
Yeah, there's definitely some sort of bad blood with Verbeek and Zegras. Obviously, the contract, talks definitely played a factor. I mean, if he was somebody that I thought could buy into Peter Laviolette's system, and Chris Drury wasn't the way that he was with doing like his management kind of flush, I would think that Zegras would be somebody that the Rangers would look to bring in. But I he seems very immature to me, and he doesn't seem like the type of guy that would buy in to play that type of winning hockey that you need in the playoffs. He seems like the type of guy that would probably disappear come playoff time. And I don't think the Rangers will even pursue this. I don't even think you'll see them involved.
Yeah, I kind of got to agree with that one, Phil. It's I don't know if he's ready to be a winning hockey player yet.
Yeah.
He's still thinking, let me go out, score as many points. This is what I can do. And it's funny because in the World Juniors, he was amazing. He was clutch. Everything you wanted from a player like that. But I still think he's
softer, type of game. I mean, that's still a more skill predicated game.
But I think his focus is still on being a star. He'd rather be the guy that's known for the Michigan pass and the dodgeball shootout move in the All-Star game weekend. And until he kind of says, I want to win a Stanley Cup and I'll do anything I want for that, I don't think you're going to get anywhere with him just yet. Not saying Trevor Zegras can't turn into a better player, because you can take that energy.
He needs the Bowman to the Yzerman and Fedorov and the Hitchcock to the Modano. That's really what he needs to get to that next level. And I don't think he's ready for that yet.
Yeah, I don't think he's ready for that either. It's going to be some time. Well, guys, thanks for joining us on Big Apple Hockey's Bar Talk, where we gauge our confidence on NHL topics based on our choice of drink. And we'll do a quick little Q&A, because I'm only going to go till 7 o'clock, which 7 o'clock Eastern time is – so it's 8 more minutes for us. And, Phil, I do have to point this one out because of the doubt that's surrounding Filip Hedl right now. You had Elias Andersson. Keandre Miller is kind of underperforming now. Vitali Kratsov. Nils Lundqvist. Kako. Lafreniere. Rangers kind of failed in their rebuild, I think. That's a bit of a hot take right now, but and a little bit of circumstances. But
I mean, they went and they got Adam Fox, and that ended up being really good. Miller is struggling right now, but he had 40 points last year. Lafreniere is looking like the player. He's looking like he's well on his way to the player that we all think he will become. The big thing for Lafreniere was that in the offseason, he worked with a strength and conditioning coach back up in, I think, Montreal. I think his name was Stefan Dubé. And it was reported on the Sportsnet broadcast of the Rangers-Montreal game that he came back this offseason 6 pounds lighter. And he looks faster. He looks stronger. He looks better. And it's funny because I was saying the exact opposite about him in the offseason. And it was Kaapo Kakko who looked better.
Mm-hmm.
Alexi Lafreniere looks 10 times better. Alexi Lafreniere is on pace for over 50 points. Like, I hope we all know this right now. Like, 25 points in 39 games. 25. And that is a pace of, let's see, over 82. No, I did that wrong. why did that not do the way that I wanted to do? But it's over 50 points. It's probably about like 51 or 52 points that he's on pace for. So, I mean, the only thing with him right now that I need to see fixed from Lafreniere is the defense. Defense not been good for him. Just too many lackadaisical plays at times. I need more from him defensively. Yeah, it's 53 points he's on pace for Lafreniere. So if you get 50 points out of Lafreniere on that second line in his, what is this, his fourth year? Yeah, 21, 22. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fourth year. I mean, that's not bad. That's not bad. So,
And Phil, the type of play that he's been known for this season, it's more generating the turnovers. He's not getting those points. There's been a lot of plays that he's made, and you could say those were assists that weren't on the score sheet, so to speak, that he's created the turnover. Trocheck or Panarin takes it over and puts it in the back of the net. So yeah, that's one thing that helps. But you kind of look at everything outside of this. You can't whiff on Vitali Kravtsov. And then you can't
have Elias Anderson. A major reach, and that's why Gordy Clark and that regime are no longer here. The major reach. They should have. Gordy Clark thought he was the smartest man in the room, and he found another Evgeny Kuznetsov. It's the problem with that previous regime is that they get convinced of things after seeing things happen. So that regime was also the regime that took Dylan McIlrath after they watched the Rangers get bullied in that two-game series and the Flyers in that home-and-home at the end of the 2010 season. So they passed on Kuznetsov in that draft. So, we're going to make up for it. We're going to go get our own Kuznetsov in 2018. After Kuznetsov put up 30 points to lead all playoff scorers in the 2018 playoffs. So, that's the issue with this team. And Davidson overhyped about Schneider in the war room thinking he got – yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
The previous regime thought that they were – especially the scouting staffs, they thought that they found the next big thing in these things instead of kind of going by the boards and doing things the right way. And they got convinced and they got hyped on guys that really weren't that great. They really weren't.
And let's go further from that. If they would have actually traded up one pick before Schneider, you'd end up with Dawson Mercer, who is a guy that the Ranger fans would all have killed for right now. Instead, you get Braden Schneider, who, yeah, he helped on that run, but still, yeah, Ryan Gropp was another guy
that was touted. LaPierre was available. I wanted Hendricks LaPierre, but there was a big injury issue with him, and they thought it was concussions, and it ended up being a neck thing, and he got the issue fixed, but
You also look at the 2020 it was the 2020 NHL draft with Lafreniere. So you look at that draft, it's actually looking closer to the 99 draft than it is the 2003. You're not seeing – I mean, you got Tim Stützle in the field right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great. Byfield is starting to look like the player that he should become. Lucas Raymond is a solid player. Jake Sanderson is turning into a really good player. Drysdale has been hurt a lot. Holtz hasn't really done anything. Jack Quinn is starting to play better. Marco Rossi had the myocarditis scare. That he was going to even play again. Cole Perfetti has been solid. He's starting to get better. Yaroslav Askarov, not enough of a sample size.
They don't even know yet.
They think that next year he'll probably be staying with the team. So they still think that he could be a franchise goaltender. Seth Jarvis has been good, but he's also been on a good team. Dylan Holloway, not really a big fan of him. Rodion Amirov, a lot of people like that pick, but he hasn't been any good. Kaden Gooley isn't bad. Lucas Reichel it's still early with him. He's starting to show flashes. Dawson Mercer looked good last year. McMadulin, I don't think he's going to be anything. Igor Chinnikov was another one because the announcers didn't even like know who he was at that
They didn't time. Prepare for him.
They didn't prepare for him being drafted that high. And then he ends up being, I know that, but it's just it's a sad story, but it's just it was a good pick, I was saying. Like, it was a lot of people liked that pick at the time. But it was Chinnikov, really, that kind of, like, he's kind of blown away expectations so far. He's starting to play a hell of a lot better. So I think he's going to be a good player. Connor Zary has come out of nowhere recently for Calgary.
And if I recall, that is the Rangers pick that they had.
Yeah, Connor Zary, yeah. I mean, that would have been a nice one for the Rangers. Gabe's brother hasn't really done anything with Anaheim as of yet. Ridly Greig looks like he could be a solid middle six player. And then you've got Brendan Bersone, Maverick Bork, and Ozzy Wiesplot. So I don't know if any of those three are going to be anything great at the NHL level. But, yeah, I do agree. There are some solid players, but there are definitely some guys who have definitely missed big time.
All right, guys, we're going to play the music to get us going. Because, you know, right now out in Tennessee, like I said before, I hit the Jack Daniels distillery earlier. Bill, do you know that's in a dry county?
You said that earlier.
Yeah, you can only taste that much. But I did have that much of 130 proof whiskey, which was very interesting twice. Goes with the 140. Matt, thank you very much. Because we work hard on this show, and we're just trying to get more eyeballs on us. Thank you to everybody that's watching on Instagram, because I was a little bit late to get the stream up. So hopefully, and also thanks to everybody watching All Things Islanders now, because we cover everybody around here. So, Bill, what do you think? The Rangers go to St. Louis. Do they get back in their winning ways?
I think so. I think they come back with better effort. I think the Laviolette heavy skate practice, I think that'll help them. And no, I think the New York Rangers want to play worse defense, and they don't want to make any trades at all. They want to actually bring back Patrick Nemeth.
Yeah, as always, Patrick Nemeth, the Norris Trophy winner that he was. Thank you very much, Thor. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you all for joining us for today. Look for more shorts and segments, and make sure you're helping us get the word out. Just leave a like when I put the clips and the other shorts up there. But guys, thank you very much, and we will see you next Wednesday night.
Take care.